This is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I'm your host, Martha Riley. I'm a TEDx speaker, cheese pizza lover, and master human connector. I help introverts, people with social anxiety, and awkward humans of the world find confidence, connection, and their cool factor. Because have you ever been to a party and someone asked you a question that you didn't know the answer to? Yeah, me too. It fucking sucks. But that's where I come in. I'm asking the questions so you'll have the answers. So sit back, relax, because there's shit we need to know. My name is Martha, and this is the Shit You Need to Know podcast. No, I like my other intro better. Hello and welcome to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. Yep, that feels right. Let's get started with a question this week, as usual. My question is, have you ever cried during a Toy Story movie? So I'll tell you why I'm asking this. First of all, Toy Story 4 just came out this last weekend. And also, when the third Toy Story was a thing, I think I was a junior or senior in high school, and it was like about giving away toys as Andy went off to college, and I fucking lost it because I was going off to college soon and I didn't know what I was going to do with my stuffed animals when I left. And I just got really sad and emotional because I wanted to keep my stuffed animals. I didn't want to give them away. Spoiler alert, I did keep them. So make of that what you will. This week on the podcast, I talk to Danielle Savory. Isn't that such a cool name? Way better than Martha Petruszewski. Danielle is a certified life coach, a host of It's My Pleasure podcast, and also a sex coach. So that's right. We're talking about sex, baby. We talk all about the self-pleasuring journey. You know, how can you accept that it is a healthy and natural thing to do if you don't already? We talk about, you know, getting past the shame of sex. It's okay to want to feel good, you guys. Like, it's totally okay. And maybe this is a story for a 15-minute Friday episode, and I'll just tell it really quickly. But I had to go to sex therapy for a while because I was having some hormonal issues, and basically, I had to relearn how to have sex. And it was a really weird process, and I'll go into more detail, I think. You know, I'll just do it this Friday. We'll do that for the 15-minute Friday this week, my sex therapy journey, but it was really intense. It was very emotional, and I learned a lot from it, though, and I would love to share those lessons with you as well. But it's okay to want to feel good. It's okay to, you know, think of sex as this cool thing, because it is. It's a great thing. It's fun. I love having sex. And we also talk about, you know, worrying about taking a long time when you're having sex and having your mind wander during sex. So maybe you're thinking about, oh shit, I gotta take out the trash, or oh my god, will they hurry up? That's okay too. You know, you're not broken if you occasionally wander off during sex, but maybe we talk about how to bring that mindfulness in to sex and be really present with ourselves and our partner. We also talk about creating a relationship between your mind and your body, which I love. I think is so important because, you know, sex is really, it's a special act. And I know sometimes in the past, I definitely haven't treated it that way because, you know, I'm busy, I need to get on doing something else. But it's really an act of, you know, pleasure and self-care. Sometimes having good sex is a form of my self-care. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Danielle was an absolute pleasure to talk to, and we will see you after the jump.
My name is Danielle Savory, and I am a life coach, and I mostly work with women entrepreneurs, but just, you know, high-achieving, go-getter type women. And in the realm of pleasure and sex is kind of the sweet spot. But, I mean, there's so many other stuff because we work on one thing, you work on all the things, right? But my podcast is definitely a sex and pleasure podcast.
Yeah, tell me more about the podcast and tell our listeners more about where they can find you.
The podcast is called It's My Pleasure, and it really is just my take on what I've learned through coaching women on sexuality and through the lens of sex, but really about owning our pleasure, right? I think so often women, it's like pleasure kind of happens to us or it's for the benefit of somebody else, and just taking that back for ourselves and really owning it. And in order to own it, there's so much other stuff that kind of has to get out of the way, even for us to be able to access it. So I talk about the psychology behind it, the neuroscience, some biology behind it, and then just tips and tricks and learning tools to be able to connect with your body and connect with your pleasure and make it part of your life.
And what's your background in this? Did you sort of fall into this, or was this something that had always interested you?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that, because I think in the coaching world, like some of the things I think that I found early on was that question, like, what can you not help but do? Or like, if you could talk about something forever and ever, like, what would it be? And the answer I always came to was sex. I was like, I could just talk about sex for all, like, forever. This is such an easy topic for me. And I know it's not as easy for everybody. So sex and sexuality has just been a part of who I am, even from a young age. Like when I turned 18, instead of like, you know, going and buying cigarettes or getting a tattoo, like I went to the sex shop and I got my first vibrator. And so it was just like, just something that was who I was. But I came to becoming a sex and pleasure coach more through just my own struggles of how I found coaching in general, which is through meditation and mindfulness. And I was just in a really dark place. This was over a decade ago, and a lot of body issues, like a lot of pain and medical and health things that came up that created a whole different kind of relationship with my body. And so being able to navigate pain and pleasure when you have really are looking at your body like I hate you and you're a failure is a very tricky path. And so that's really how I had to figure that out on my own. And being able to come to that, I was like, I have to help anybody and everybody be able to, whether or not you actually are having like extreme health struggles like I was, the just still that falling, having like a love affair with yourself, like falling back in love with yourself and finding those parts of you that can be pleasurable and just waking up to that in your everyday life.
I was kind of the same way. I'm that friend who would have the vibrators and stuff, and I'm like, you don't have one? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Well, I have definitely like been that friend. They're like, oh, is this a good one? I was like, yeah, you know, that might be too advanced for you.
But yeah. It's just let's like, start easy. Yes. Yeah. I love that. And it's so interesting, even like now, you know, being in my mid-30s, like how many women still aren't, you know what I mean? Like it made more sense to me when I was 18 that it was new or maybe taboo, but I'm like, nothing really changes unless you make it a point to change. Or maybe there was a period in your life when you were first like falling in love with your person that things were hot, and then they just went back to not being a part of your life. And so really helping women realize the impact that pleasure can have in every aspect of their life and helping them go get it.
For sure. And along with that, how would you say that like sex and pleasure play a role into our professional lives? Like most people, I feel like, think that they aren't connected at all, but they kind of are, aren't they?
Let me answer that question in two parts. So like that first part, like how does it connect into your business? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Or like business or professional life, anyone in the workforce trying to like do their best.
Totally. So, I mean, there's so many ways, but I think one of the things about pleasure is there is a lot of number one, just cultural messages that we get about pleasure. So being able to go after it, I feel is like a revolutionary act. Like you have to be able to be like, this is important for me. It's not just about my to-do list. This is about like me and I feel worthy of it. And then being able to be curious and figure out like what is pleasurable in your body and what you do want is one of the most deepest places of self-growth and self-discovery. And what that offers you is courage. It offers confidence. It offers self-compassion. It offers resilience. And all of those just completely bleed out into your professional life. I was talking with a woman about this the other day, and it's just like, you know, if you can figure out how to tap into your own body and own your own pleasure, like standing up in front of a room full of people or even on stage in front of like 500 people seems like nothing. It's like, I just learned how to give myself like multiple orgasms. I'm pretty good with talking on stage in front of people, right? Like it makes it seem so much smaller of feat in a lot of ways, because sexuality and pleasure is one of the most vulnerable places. And so if we're willing to go there, it makes the other places that might seem a little bit scary, not quite as scary.
So say someone is pretty new into this world, either maybe not new, I'm sure they've had sex before, but they don't like, they're like, okay, it's fine. Like, what could I be doing better? How do you recommend someone really like dive deep in this pleasure journey, like get a vibrator, start meditating? What do you recommend to go deeper?
To go deeper. Ooh, this is a great question. And there's so many different avenues I think that you could go. I say always the first journey is with yourself. So learning how to please yourself, doing a self-exploration and self-pleasuring journey is part of it, right? Now, that can be a different starting point for every single person, right? Some people, it's even getting past possibly a shame place, you know, maybe self-pleasure has felt like a shameful or unnecessary place before. So it's taking a look at the kind of thoughts or the kind of mental blocks that you might have around masturbation or touching yourself in general, right? So for those people, that's going to be a lot different than if you don't have that, right? So even starting there, or if there's some sort of aversion that you have to your own body or the way that you're in your body, I think it's just beginning to see that awakening to the senses, beginning to allow your body to move, like even dancing, right? Like even allowing yourself just to dance is an amazing way for you to connect with your body. Mindfulness and meditation, I think that is a huge part. And it's a huge part of what I teach, because our ability to focus in on what's occurring in the present moment is huge, right? And I'm sure that you've had this experience before, whether you're self-pleasuring or you're with a partner where your mind wanders somewhere else. And it can wander like to something so irrelevant, like the grocery list, or it can go to something about the sex that you're having. So it's like watching, right? So it's like you're being an observer of the sex you're having, and then you're having judgments on how you or your partner is performing or how they're doing. And that can be so distracting. So being able to realize when your mind has gone off into like writing your grocery list, or it's gone off to like, oh, like I didn't realize that part of me jiggled, or what is he doing? This is strange, right? So noticing just those moments where your mind immediately kind of like goes somewhere else, and recognizing it and then being able to bring it back to what's actually happening and waking the body to pleasure. And so that practice, being able to do that in the heat of the moment, takes some time, that takes some work. So I always feel like meditation and mindfulness, like on your cushion and not related to sex at all, is super helpful, because then you can bring it into the bedroom. Then you can bring it into these places where things might be, you know, a little bit more distracting, and be like, oh, there's my mind wandering again. Okay. And just like in meditation, you're coming back to your breath, and here you're like, okay, coming back to the vagina, coming back to sensation, coming back to pleasure. Like, where is it in my body? And you can reel yourself and bring yourself back in. So that was a long question. I mean, I feel like there's so many amazing starter points. It just depends on it's like, if you don't know how to please yourself, that's one thing. If you've never had an orgasm, there's a totally different starting point. If you're having sex, but it's not the best and it's not really getting better, then maybe it's like a mindfulness or meditation thing. If it's something where you're dealing with shame, whether it's body image shame or body insecurity or even shame around sex in general, then that is a totally different starting point as well. So I think there's a couple places to start, but it's a big, broad thing depending on what is the main thing that you're focusing on or you're having a struggle with.
For sure. That's a super good point. And I think we will go into that more a bit later. But first, I wanted to switch things up and ask you some questions.
Yeah.
So the first one is, what's the most awkward moment that you have ever experienced?
Like ever or sexually?
You can answer that however you want.
Well, I will totally answer it sexually because I'm an open book and I'm happy to do that. So one of the more awkward moments that I remember and had a huge impact on me later, right? Because I feel like there's these embarrassing or awkward moments that have happened that then culminate later and actually have a huge effect on us and how we relate to our sexuality or how we relate to ourselves. But I remember when I was like a freshman in college and I was making out with some guy and he was like, we weren't having sex or anything, but he was definitely trying to get me off. And he wasn't having like the best results with that. And he said something to me like, what's the matter with you? Like, this normally works for other girls. And I was like, what? it's your fingers. Like, I'm not sure like how to answer that. Like, it was so awkward. And I kind of just like deer in headlights and like froze. Cause I was then what happened was like, then I was worried, like there's something the matter with me. Like, if this guy says this has worked with other girls, then it should probably work with me, right? Having no clue that that's not really, number one, we're all so different. Things turn us on different. There's so many different things that play into it that I know now, like context of the room, of being in a dorm, of being with somebody that I don't know very well, all of these sorts of things. So number one, that was super awkward. But more importantly, like I look back on that moment because it really showed up later in my sexual relations. Like it planted the seed in my subconscious that number one, there's a possibility there's something wrong with me, which we don't even have to get down into how detrimental that can be for a young woman or a woman of any age. And then the second part that was really hard about that was worrying that if I was taking quote unquote a long time, that I was broken, that somehow I should be coming faster or I should be like orgasming like on the spot. And then if I wasn't, then there must be something functionally wrong. And that can really mess with your mind, especially sexually. And I think that it definitely then showed up in a variety of different ways and behaviors moving forward.
That totally resonates with me. And I feel like it's listeners, it's about to get real personal up in here, but
yes.
I've had partners that will, you know, also try to get me off. And usually, you know, it's very hard for me to have an orgasm just by fingers or just by someone using their mouth. I usually mm-hmm. have to have a vibrator. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of men take that really personally. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, like, it's really not you. I'm having a great time. It's just like, this is sort of what works for me and maybe we can incorporate in that. But I've had people that are personally offended and they're like, no, like, why do you need that? That's so dumb. So I feel like if anyone's listening and they're like, you know, oh, people think sex toys are bad. They're definitely not. And they can be used as an aid.
Yes.
But I also want your take on, they're definitely not a replacement for an actual mm-hmm. partner. I think that's important to establish as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's just so important to like realize, you know, but that's one of the reasons what I want to come back to is like, that's one of the reasons that I started using a vibrator even more regularly after that encounter was because I then was like, oh, well, I'm supposed to come faster. And if I can't come fast with like, you know, oral sex or like my fingers, if I grab my vibrator because it's such a high level of stimulation, I can get there faster. And that's the point. And so what it really did was it implanted in my head, like that was the point, was to have orgasm or to get to that place, right? Like that represented to my partner or to me that we had reached like this pinnacle of pleasure or some shit, right? And it's not like it's, and it's, and I think that's part of the reason that it can be so confusing in sexuality is because we've always been shown that orgasm is kind of like the way or where we get there. And this is definitely just a patriarchal kind of viewpoint, because for men, that is important for reproduction, right? So it's like they have to be able to come to be able to reproduce and have babies, where women's pleasure and orgasming is not crucial to us making babies. And so that's kind of like the seed of where all of that stuff was planted, and then it spread from there. And so the orgasm, it's great when we have it, but when we are so focused on getting there, that can completely interrupt the journey and really create like a close off of opening up to the pleasure that's there. So yes, on vibrators, and also notice if you're reaching for it just because you want to get to it, right? And that's that I've noticed from my past too. It's like, oh, this is taking a long time. I'm just going to grab my vibrator because I know I can get an orgasm, versus allowing myself to create the right mental and internal environment to open myself up to pleasure. And then that is when an orgasm may or may not come, but realizing that's not the point. And so that made me not like grip, like I keep like squeezing my hands because it's kind of like this graspy, like I got to get it sort of approach that is going to make that journey towards orgasm so much different, and whether or not you have one.
I definitely resonate with that. And I feel like I'm about 50-50. I'm definitely unlearning some bad behaviors, and I do find myself reaching for a vibrator more often than not. But sometimes when there isn't one available, I'm really finding myself like, oh, it totally doesn't matter. Like, I just want my partner to be happy. And obviously I want myself to be happy too. But I'm at that point, I'm almost like more focused on, you know, giving them pleasure, because like, that's fun too. Like, it's almost just as fun for me as to see them finish and to see them have fun, rather than me finishing all the time. I don't know if you feel similarly or if you've had similar experiences.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think it's interesting because it's that what I noticed for me was kind of, and not to put words in your mouth, maybe what you're seeing is like when I didn't have it, right? Like if I went on vacation and I didn't, like forgot to pack my vibrator, I was like, holy shit, what am I going to do? Like, does this mean no orgasms for me the whole time? And so this kind of agreement that I had made in my head that I needed that tool in order to be able to orgasm, I realized was really just a thought. It felt real. It felt like a fact. It felt like this is definitely the way that it is. And perhaps at that moment, that's the way that it had become, or the habit that I have created as far as like a response that my body had. So I actually went on a vibrator sex toy cleanse. So just, you know, basically like a juice cleanse, like showing myself what I could do without any sort of toys. And it was really hard. Like it was really hard, but like I made it this exploration that I was going to learn how to give myself an orgasm without anything. So like no erotic stories, no porn, no toys, no anything. And that journey allowed me to have, number one, a lot of compassion for my partner and understanding like how much I was still learning about my body. And this is like recently, like this is, you know, in the last few years, and I've been with my partner for 16 years, and just giving myself like that gift and having compassion for myself. Like most of the time when I first started trying this out, like I didn't orgasm. I didn't even really feel good. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is really hard. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Because my body had become sensitized to that sort of stimulation. And so to figure out a different way to get there, it was a learning curve and just being with myself every step of the way. And it's like learning how to ride a bike, like knowing it's going to take some time before you can get the training wheels off and give it a go and try again.
Would you recommend maybe doing that earlier rather than later in life? Because like the point I'm trying to make is that sex toys are okay, but you should know how to do both. Is that kind of what we're getting at?
Yeah, I think it's empowering to do both. I don't like to should on anybody. You shouldn't have to, but knowing that it's an opportunity for you to learn more about yourself and about your body, then why wouldn't you want to, right? That's more how I look at it. And I really wanted to learn that about myself because like knowing that I can access and own my pleasure no matter what at any given time is so empowering, right? Like it's so incredible to have that and know that. It's like a knowing. It's like walking around and you're like, I know a secret that nobody else here knows. Like it's just very like empowering. And I think it's not something that happens like one time in life. I think that it could happen multiple times because our bodies are always changing. Hormones are changing. Our after you have kids versus, you know, when you're pregnant or before you have kids, like everything is different. And so when you can meet your changing body with a growth mindset and being willing to learn and grow with your body, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's really empowering too. And I think it can be empowering for yourself and for your relationships as well. So that is something I wanted to talk about is how do you keep the passion in the relationship alive if it maybe fell off the wagon for a little bit or, you know, it was there and, or it goes in waves. What's a good way to consistently like always bring your best self to the bedroom essentially?
I love this question. So like I said, I've been with my partner for 16 years. So we're no like spring chickens in the bedroom. And I think that our sex life is only getting better. And so any of you that are out there in new relationships, like for those people that are like, oh yeah, when we first met, it was so hot and heavy and now it's just like boring. Like that's bullshit. And it doesn't have to be that way unless you're making an agreement, it's going to be that way. So I think the first and most important thing is to decide that your pleasure with your partner is important, that it's a priority to you, that this is something that you want to keep alive. And then after you've made that decision, one of the tools or the concepts that I talk with on my podcast and also just in general is that idea of a beginner's mind. So like in Buddhist psychology and Buddhist meditation, when you're sitting in meditation, it's like showing up like it's the first time, right? So you're approaching your cushion like what if this was like the first breath that I took, or feeling, you know, like really learning and curiosity, right, is the idea behind it. And I remember when I was deep in meditation, my meditation practice, and I was thinking about that concept and I was like, what if every single time I kiss my person, it's the first time? Because we grieve about never having a first kiss again when really it can be, and I know it sounds like out there, like, and you're like, yeah, it's not really the first, but go with me on this concept. But it's really approaching your person like you can't wait, and the anticipation and not assuming you know what they're going to do. And I think when you've been with somebody for a long time, you can fall into like a habitual way or a pattern. And it doesn't mean that it has to look different from the outside. But if you approach it in such a way with your mind that I don't know where they're going to go next, I don't know what's going to happen next, I don't know if they're going to bite my lip or if they're going to kiss me deeper, like I don't know. And it's that curiosity that's going to keep that like tingling sense of anticipation happening in your body, to really be curious and let your mind fall into the place of like, this is happening right now in this moment. And I'm so excited to see where it goes next. Instead of like, oh, now I know he's going to do this and then this, right? Like it's the getting out of that automatic pilot and being really open and curious about like, but what if, and what's next, and where are we going, helps so much. And you don't really have to get like crazy, super spicy, trying new things. It's just allowing your mind to approach it like it's new every time.
So the next question I have is, how do you speak up for what you want? And I guess we could take this question in a couple of different directions, because you are a life coach, or we can mm-hmm. talk about how you speak up in the bedroom, or maybe speaking up in the bedroom helps you speak up in life. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I think that first off, and I was just talking to another coach about this, is the difference between like demanding, right? Because I think a lot of times we think that we're like asking for what we want, but it's like almost telling people what they need to be doing. And that's a very different approach. I think that it can go both ways, because when you really decide what you want, like in your life, and you're going after it, that's much different than just deciding what you want in the bedroom and like, you know, to hell or high water, I'm getting it. Like, number one, consent is involved. Number two, like, we have to create this atmosphere of safety with ourselves and with our partners, like emotional safety, to be able to even have these conversations. Where in the external world, if I decide I want to be making a certain amount of money, then I'm going to figure out a way to do it, and there's nothing that's getting in my way, right? And I mean that obviously not like violence kind of thing, but like I'm willing to fail and continuing to learn to like take me to that goal. And that I think is different. But when we're involving somebody else, especially in a space that is so vulnerable, then I think that it's really, really important to, before you're even in that place where things are hot and heavy, to have a conversation. And a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Like, actually talk to my person about sex? Like, that sounds awkward. And that gives you an idea of where you guys are kind of at as far as being able to have these kind of conversations, right? But finding out first where you're at, like how comfortable do you feel talking to this person? And then there might need to be some things that you need to do to help yourself feel more courageous and supported, and do some self-compassion practices and that sort of thing before having this conversation, number one. And then number two, I think it's really important to have the conversation of like, hey, babe, like, when we are doing this kind of thing, you know, I've been learning a lot about myself and like what I like and what I don't like and what's like really getting me off and turning me on. How would you like me to talk to you about that while we're having sex, right? Because you can learn really quickly that there is a way that it's not supposed to be approached, like when that person shuts down, because we think that it would be so easy just to be like, hey, I don't like that. But when you're in a place of vulnerability and you're in a place of like you're naked and you're doing something and someone tells you, hey, I don't like that, you're leaving the door open for shutdown and creating a lot of stress. And creating stress is the opposite of pleasure. So anytime you're possibly bringing up like stressful or triggering kind of things, then you're also most likely beginning to shut the doors to pleasure. Does that make sense?
It does, but I'm still kind of hung up on the fact that you can actually stop sex and communicate.
yes, totally. You can, like in the middle, right? But I think that's why it's important to be like, hey, how do you want to talk about this when we're doing it? Like kind of having a game plan ahead of time will help. So then when those moments come up, because I'm always talking during sex, but it's not awkward because we know that that's okay. Where if it's a new person or even somebody that you've never talked to before about it, to establish a way that you would like to communicate about sex during the act.
And so what do you do if you are, I guess, in a one-night stand type of situation, which are totally okay and totally fine to do? You still want to make it pleasurable, but how do you, like, you know, communicate during that? Because that's kind of weird for everyone, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I honestly kind of feel like if you're in a one-night stand, which I also think is fine and great, it's just deciding really what you're comfortable with and being able to just have your back no matter what, right? Like, they might shut down and that's okay, right? Like, that's nothing that you have done. And just be like, hey, I kind of like it when you do this better. But it's that confidence that we have that because we're making this request, because we're asking for a little more here and a little bit less here, that it's not in our power or in our control how that information that we're delivering is received. We can do our best on our end to help create that environment of safety and like encouragement and support, right, with this other person that we don't know really well, but they might get really offended, and just that's totally their thing. It's nothing you did. That's something that's happening in their head, and they might be totally open to receiving that. And so just really deciding, like, for yourself, like, no matter how this is received, I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to make it mean anything about me.
For sure. I think that's important too, and a good mindset to have, like, going in those situations, because I know sometimes it can just be weird and awkward and maybe not fun if you're, you know, you meet up at a bar and then like an hour later you end up naked. So it can be a real confidence thing.
Totally.
And I wanted to ask your opinion on non-monogamy as well. Do you have experience with that, or do you think it's something that people can do successfully in terms of sex and relationships and stuff?
Yeah, I do not have experience with it. A lot of people in the sex coaching realm do. There's not very many sex coaches that I've actually come across that are in monogamous relationships, surprisingly. And so I've seen that they have had great success with the, you know, polyamory sort of approach. And so, yeah, I think that there's a ton of resources out there. There's a ton of, you know, people and things to read up on it. I mean, me personally, I read all that and I was like, whoa, that sounds like a lot of work. But if it's something that you want and the kind of lifestyle, there's definitely people out there that are having open conversations about it and making it work for them.
It does sound like a lot of work. I do applaud people who can do it well, but yeah, I don't know. I can barely take care of myself. So
yeah, one's enough.
What is your favorite vibrator, maybe for beginners and advanced?
Ooh, my favorite vibrator. You know, I'm pretty basic with my vibrators. I love the company Lilo. And so I just have a variety of theirs, but it's just like a very basic vibrator. And you know, it was so crazy is like, I just interviewed for my podcast, Laura Haddock from Laura DiCarlo. Have you heard of that company yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, so she is creating a vibrator that helps with the blended orgasm, and it's just won this big award, and then it got retracted. Anyway, it was very, you guys will just have to listen to that interview because it should not have been, but it's in the robotics category, so it's totally hands-free. And I just have to say, I'm looking so forward to giving that a go when it's released.
What's the name of it again?
it's called Laura, Laura, and then DiCarlo, Carlo.
And what are your other favorite resources that you recommend people to learn about all things sex and all things love and relationships? Are there any books or websites or blogs that stick out in your mind that you leaned on when you were learning?
I feel like Come As You Are is one of the best hands down sex books/Bibles, in my opinion. So a lot of these sex books, I think, are wonderful because they approach your body. But the thing that I love about Come As You Are is the approach to more of the psychology and the mind behind it. And that's really my approach even with my coaching and then on my podcast, is how much more is involved than just us as a physical, you know, specimen trying to like get ourselves off. Like what I have found, not only personally, but working with all of the women that I have over the years, is that it's more to do with how we're relating to ourselves, to our partners, to sex in general, and to the world at large at any given moment, is how we're going to be able to either access pleasure in our body or not. And so knowing how your mind works, knowing the kind of thoughts that are getting in the way of you being able to create an environment of pleasure is uber important. You know, I mean, I think the main thing is for everybody out there is that I would say to anybody getting in to any kind of sexual relationship, whether it's with yourself or someone else, or even if you've been in one for a really long time, is there's a lot of thoughts about, is there something wrong with me? Am I okay? Is there something more available to me? And I just want to reiterate that wherever you're at, like, there's nothing wrong. Like, you're okay. It can be figured out. And there's so much more that's available to every single one of us. I think that we can get into our heads and thinking like, oh, it's only me. And there must not be much more there for me. Or that because I've approached this way that I might be broken, is what I hear a lot of. And just to have faith that if you're willing and courageous enough to take a look at what's going on in your mind as it relates to just stress in general in all areas of your life, but also as it directly relates to pleasure, like whether it's a worthiness issue or a shame issue, or whether you're recovering from trauma of any kind or medical or health issues or body image stuff, or just being able to connect that it is possible for you. It's just having that first step of like, this is something that I want more of, and it's really important. It's going to impact every single area of my life, and I'm worth it. And once you are able to do that, then it's just this really delicious, like, whole person that you become, because it's a big part of who you are.
And what about that grass is greener mentality? Because I know in a past relationship a long time ago, it was always in the back of my head. I'm like, oh, is this as good as it can get? What do you have to say about that mentality and trying to be more present in your current relationship?
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's grass is greener, like as in another partner, or like there could be more here?
Both, I guess. But yeah. In that situation specifically, I was like, I think I was referring to another partner.
Yeah. So I think it's always like, as far as a relationship issue is concerned, is we really have to look at what we're looking at is solvable or not. When you've made the decision that there could be something else out there that is better, basically you're giving your mind an opportunity to look for evidence to prove that to be true, and to start to see of all of the ways that like another person could change. And you'll hear this a lot just in the coaching world in general. We're never trying to change our circumstance in order to create the result we want. And so like for me, being in a partnership for so long, and a lot of the women that I work with, it's like, okay, if nothing were to change, how could you find more pleasure in your life right now? And really believing that's possible without trying to switch out your person, without trying to switch out a vibrator, without trying to switch these kind of things out, is that is where we get into the juiciness, because that's when you really start to uncover the beliefs that you're having that are preventing you from pleasure. So I definitely think that it's, you know, it's always a possibility, but it's more of when it comes to relationships, like, is there issues that you're looking at that are not solvable, right? Or are you almost looking for a way to place blame instead of taking responsibility? And if nothing else changed, could you make this work because you're working on your mind and the way you're approaching things?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I will see you on Friday for another edition of 15 Minute Fridays. And I just wanted to plug, because, you know, we're talking about sex, we're talking about relationships, if you didn't know, I offer something called a deep dish dating call, and it is a 60-minute strategy call to help you be on your best dating game. I know it's hard. I know it's scary. I know it's uncomfortable to meet people. I do. I've been there. But that is why I am the perfect person to take you through this journey. And if you're interested in that, you can find it on my website at www.shityouneedtoknow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Shit You Need to Know podcast. I've set up a phone number in case you have a question you need answering or just want to talk. Feel free to give me a ring at 301-941-7448. That's 301-941-SHIT. Also, don't give me a ring. No one does that. You can text the number too. I don't know why I said ring. If you enjoyed this episode of the Shit You Need to Know podcast, feel free to subscribe on iTunes and rate it 5 stars.